question for this morning is, what makes you feel alive? For some people, it might be, you know, swimming with the sharks, you know, for a short time. It might be hanging from a very high place by one hand. That might just make you feel alive until you lose your grip. It might be traveling to faraway exotic places. It might be traveling to those places that are far away with the highest in the world glass walkway. Which actually sounds like a lot of fun to me, but you know. It may be making money. Nothing wrong with those things in and of themselves. Now you might think some of them are a bit crazy. The problem is, if we are looking for life in them, we might find ourselves being hollowed out. Please bow with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the blessings that we have in you. Lord, we ask that your Spirit would guide us into all truth. Thank you. Pray that you'll be with me at this time, that I'll speak from your word to your glory, O God. It is your message that shapes us and draws us closer to you. Thank you, Almighty God. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
This morning we're going to be studying from John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. Jesus is in the middle of this discussion. He began teaching in the middle of this Feast of Booths. And we're going to be talking about that a little bit later on because it's very important to our passage. And mostly what Jesus is trying to do is to try to get them to see a spiritual reality. And they keep seeing the physical. And matter of fact, one of the things he keeps doing is saying, you don't know me because you don't know God. So, verse 37. Whoops, I did not mean to do that. Verse 37. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So on the last day of this feast, and that causes a little bit of a discussion, because what are we talking about? For the people, the last best day would have been the seventh day. For the rabbis, for the priests, it would have been the eighth day. Now the eighth day was a little bit different because it was a Sabbath day's observance. And so the part of this ceremony, the part of this feast that Jesus is going to allude to, I'm pretty convinced there are some who disagree with that, but I'm pretty sure he's alluding to the water ceremony. So at dawn, the break of day, the priests would start in the temple, and they would go down to the gate, and just so you can see where this is from the temple, the water gate, and they would go down to the pool of Siloam, and they would fill up a golden pitcher of water. And then they would go back into the gate, and as soon as they got into the gate, into the inner city, they would blow the shofar, I think that's what it's called, a horn, three times. And that would be a signal for the choir to get ready. And as they entered into the temple, the choir would begin to sing the Hallel, which is Psalm 113 to Psalm 118. And as the choir got to Psalm 118:1, talking about Yahweh is Lord, the men and, well, first of all, there's the Pool of Siloam as it is today, just so you know. The men and the boys would shake their lulavs, which were branches that were tied together, and they would hold up a citrus fruit in their left hand, which was a celebration of the harvest. And they would shout out, Yahweh is Lord, Yahweh is Lord, and say that three times. When you got further on into the psalm, it says, Yahweh, save us now. and they would do the same thing and shout. The ceremony had a lot of significance to the people of Israel. It represented that God had provided water for the harvest through the year. It was a prayer that God would provide water for the coming year. But it also went back to the time of Israel in the wilderness, to the wilderness of Rephidim. When they got there, there was no water to be found, and they complained against Moses. And God said to Moses, because Moses is like, well, what are we going to do with these people? Bunch of whiners? And God said, take your staff, hit this rock, and water came out. So it was a celebration of God providing water. So picture this. Jesus, either on that seventh day when they would march around the altar seven times, pour the water out into a basin, and they would offer that as a drink offering to God. Either then, Jesus cries out and says, if anyone is thirsty, come to me. Do you think they would get it? Or it's on the eighth day, when the water ceremony doesn't happen, and there is no water, and he says, if anyone's thirsty, come to me. Either day that he did that on would be way significant. And they'd get it. I think that's what Jesus is doing. You see, what he's doing is he's taking a current custom. By the way, this ceremony is not prescribed in the law. Matter of fact, the priests hated it. After they were finished with the ceremony, they had to raise up their hand and basically say, we have done our duty. Because, especially the Sadducees, if it's not in the Torah, if it's not in the first five books of law, it is not from God. And this ceremony is not. It's a custom. And Jesus takes his message, the gospel, and he wraps it in current custom. So, on the 4th of July, this country celebrates freedom. And the Friday that is closest to that, every year, I take that opportunity and I do a worship ceremony at the Youth Correction Center, and we talk about what freedom is in God.
Amen.
See, I think we look for opportunities every year on Halloween. We take the custom of our community, and we set up our cars in the parking lot, and we hand out not only candy, but we also hand out, Cindy is always buying toys and things and that have Jesus loves you on them, and pencils, and we hand those things out, and we call it lighting up the night, or lighting up the darkness. And so we take a current custom, and we try to get out there and present a little bit of the gospel within the current custom. I think that's appropriate. I know that's what Jesus was doing. So we talk about what it is for life. Because he says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being. And the discussion is from whose innermost being? A lot of people think that it's from the believer. Maybe. But maybe Jesus is talking about himself. The fact of the matter is, what Jesus says here is not found as a quote anywhere in Scripture. But I think this is what Jesus is doing. Because there is this passage in Isaiah 12:3, and really, the whole water rite ceremony comes from this passage. It says, with joy, draw water. And it's talking about salvation from God. That whole chapter of 12, I encourage you to read it sometime, is all about, okay, God was angry with us. That was not good. But now, he's come and he's bringing us salvation, and that is good.
That's right.
You draw that water with joy. Celebrate. The water rite was so popular that one author wrote, if you have never seen or participated in the water ceremony, you have never seen or felt joy. It was not only a celebration of what God had done. It was a celebration of salvation that comes from God. But there's more. Because again, in Exodus 17, 1 through 6, you've got this idea of there being no water and the people are complaining. Because, you know, and by the way, I think sometimes we're a little hard on the Israelites. If your baby is starting to get thirsty and their lips are cracking, are you going to complain to somebody about it? Okay? So they begin to complain, and you know, he strikes the rock, and out of the most unlikely place in the world, water comes from the rock. And then there's a couple of prophecies. Ezekiel 47, 1 through 12. The prophet he sees this flow of water come from the temple. And he's standing in it, and at first it comes to his ankles, and then it comes to his knees, and then it comes to his thighs. And before you know, it's a river that he cannot ford. And everything that water touches comes to life. Matter of fact, it flows from the temple to the sea, and the salt water becomes fresh, living water. And the prophecy is, what comes from God gives life.
Amen.
That same prophecy is found in Zechariah 14:8. So this is what Jesus is saying. What he is saying is, I am the temple. I'm the temple from which the water flows. I'm the rock. So picture Jesus. Oh man, that's not Jesus. I forgot I threw that in there. That's the problem with PowerPoint. It messes with your head. Okay, so we're going to deal with this picture and then we'll go on. There's nothing wrong with enjoying doing things. So a couple years ago, Cindy and I, for our anniversary, went whitewater rafting. And it was a lot of fun. We also went ziplining. And it was a lot of fun. But if I'm looking for that as my source of life, I'm going to only be able to do it one out of 20 years. Or because it's not cheap. We only were able to do it when we got the kids out of the house. It's expensive. But there are people that they're living for that adrenaline rush. They're going from one thing to the next. I love to do roller coasters. Anybody with me on that one? Anybody love roller coasters? Man, I love roller coasters. But again, it's not cheap. And if you're living from that one roller coaster to the next, which some people do, your life doesn't amount to much, does it? So what Jesus is saying, what is your source of life? I am the source of life. I am the origin of the life-giving water. Amen. From me flows, from my innermost being flows the water, the living water. Which means if you're coming to Jesus, you'll never run out. You might run out of money and not be able to do the whitewater rafting thing. You might run out of money and not be able to go to the amusement parks. You might think that you might lose your grip as you're holding on to that building. And then your fun is just really over. Right? What brings you life? And that's what Jesus is trying to get to. And again, the answer is Jesus. Because as fun as I think it is to do these things that are exciting, man, I am looking forward to going to Rome. All of us, the whole family, we get to go from Bucharest to Rome because it's like really cheap. And I'm looking forward to it. I want to see the Colosseum and I want to see those things, and it's exciting. But if that's where life is found, I am going to go from one moment of life to the next, and in between is going to be shallow and nothingness. And I need to tell you that as exciting as those things are, the moments when I'm talking to the kids at YCC and they're asking me questions about God, those moments are life. Those moments are the things that give you energy, that help you to go on to the next moment. Amen. And when you're praying by yourself and you're talking to God and all of a sudden you realize that God really is there. You guys felt that?
Amen.
And you realize it and you feel it, and then that's life. The other stuff, that's just good feelings. Life comes from Jesus Christ. Life comes when we submit our will to the will of God.
That's right.
I told the people that were here Wednesday night that Corey sent an email, and he's showing a movie at the cafe that they work at, and after they do a spiritual discussion, you know, what does this movie have to do with God, maybe, and they work it in, and he said the discussion was pretty good. There weren't a whole lot of people there. But afterwards, this guy came up to him and said, yeah, I really don't believe in God. And Corey said, would you like to go get coffee sometime and we can talk about it? And I couldn't tell from the email if he was excited about that. Even if he was telling me face to face, I wouldn't be able to tell if he's excited about that. But I think he was.
Yeah, he was.
I think he was. Because every time we get an opportunity to do what God is calling us to do, that's where life is found. And what would it be like if we had been drinking from the waters of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ all week long and we showed up here full of life? Drinking all anew? I mean, wouldn't that be exciting?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, that's not just a dream. That's really where we can live. But really, he's talking about the Spirit of God. And I know he says this interesting thing that the Spirit's not really here until I leave. As long as Jesus was on the earth, he was not going to send the Spirit. He makes that very clear in the Gospel of John. But once he went back to the Father, he is going to send the Spirit. Jesus is the source of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
In our life.
That's right.
And we can drink from that fountain. Now think that through. We can drink from the fountain that is the Spirit of God. Whew. I don't know. Well, yeah, probably. You know, on a really hot day, and you've been working, and what you want most is a cold glass of water. I mean, that really, that's what I want. You know, the commercials are wrong. I do not want a Pepsi. Now, seriously, nothing tastes better than a cold glass of water, does it? And when I drink that water on that really hot day, I don't just go, oh my, that's so good, satisfying. Right? You just, and that's what we should be doing with the Spirit of God.
That's right.
We should be just chugging the Spirit down. Jesus didn't say trickles of living water flow from me. He says rivers. Rivers of flowing water flow from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Drink it down. Drink it down. Now, I know, that doesn't mean that you're going to be, you know, believing in Jesus and then you're going to be, the Holy Spirit's with you and then you're never going to have a bad moment or a day. Right? There are people out there that think that's the way it should be. That's not the way it works. We have read the Psalms sometime. Godly people struggle with depression. But what it's saying is that through those moments, we don't have to turn to these other things to try to find life. I was working on a degree in Nebraska, and they brought in this guy that was an expert on addiction. He worked with the state of Nebraska in that realm. And he said, and this was a long time ago, but he said they had just done studies, and people who are chemically dependent, that chemical stimulates a part of your brain that is closely connected to survival. So why is it so hard to kick an addiction? Because when things are going bad and you feel depressed, your brain is saying, I need this to survive. I need this to survive. What you need to survive is the Spirit of God that flows from Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Amen.
And I'm not trying to say that once you get that you'll never struggle with an addiction again. That's not my point. My point is, life cannot come out of a bottle. It can't come from a syringe. It can't come from making money. It can't come from that adrenaline rush, because I'm thinking that all of those things are probably stimulating the same part of the brain. Real life, fulfilling life that is there with us in the middle of the dark valley. Because the promise of God is not that I'll keep you out of that valley. The promise, read Psalm 23, is that even though I have to go through the valley of deep darkness, I know it's translated valley of shadow of death often, but it's really valley of deep darkness, I will fear no evil, not because God's going to keep me out of there, because in the midst of that, God is there.
Amen.
That's where life comes from. The Spirit of God with us in the good moments and the bad moments. The Spirit of God flowing from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, I encourage you to drink. Drink freely and drink plenty. The Spirit of God. Whatever you need this morning, I encourage you. You might be sitting there saying, man, I just don't feel alive. Is there anybody here that's never felt that? Right? I don't know if you looked around, but nobody raised their hand. There's nobody. Nobody that doesn't feel sometimes like they're just dead. If you're wrestling with that and you don't feel alive, that doesn't mean you're not a good Christian. That just means you need to be drinking more fully from the Spirit. And that doesn't mean that feeling's going to go away. That means in the midst of that feeling, you have life from God. And if you want prayers, if you want us to be praying with you and for you, we'd love to pray with you. If you want to know more about our God that wants to give you real life, we'd love to talk to you about God. We're going to offer an invitation. We're going to all stand. You're invited to come forward if you want to. But if you just want to talk to somebody, that's also always available. Because sometimes it can feel a little threatening to walk up front. So I just need you to know, if you have questions, if you want to talk, it doesn't have to be in this moment, but you are welcome, and we invite you because we're all gathered together and it's convenient. Whatever you need, please come as we stand and sing.